Psalm 102, 24 to 28. So I said, "Do not take me away, my God, in the midst of my days. Your years go on through all generations. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. The children of your servants will live in your presence. The descendants will be established before you." And now we're moving on to the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi 3, verse 6, which is page 961. Malachi 3, 6. "I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed."
Morning. It is still morning. Is it still morning? Just. Great to have you here. Great if you're joining us online. Let's pray as we come to God's word together. Let's pray. Numbers 23, 19 says this: "God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind." Father, we thank you that as we come to this word, it is a certain word because it truly reveals who you are, because you inspired it, you breathed it out through human authors. And so we pray that we might humbly reflect and by your Spirit help us to know and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, when you see a child, like a really small baby child, one of the fun games you can play is, what are they going to look like when they grow up? Once the growth spurt has kicked in and adolescence is over and their body matures, what are they going to look like? Now, I know some people in this church will know this experience, that you come in and you see someone and you double take when you realize that was that little kid who in the last 2 weeks is now 10 foot tall. And you just can't recognize. You're like, oh my life, look how much they have changed. They are constantly, we're constantly changing. We are constantly changing. I remember on my wedding day, my mother-in-law, if she's watching online, who I love very, very much, she's wonderful. But I remember her pulling me aside and pointing at my wonderful bride and saying to me, "Andy, she'll never look this good again." Now, I want to be clear. My mother-in-law was grossly wrong, because my wife is ever more beautiful today than she was. But I'll be honest with you, at the age of 46, people come over to my house and they'll see photos of me from 20 years ago and they go, "Andy, you've changed. You've changed." And I do. I look different. And we change. Right now, in this room, you are changing. You're sat still and you are changing. In the last second, you've produced 25 million cells. Your brain has processed 100 million new pieces of information. Your location has changed at a rate of 66,000 miles per hour as the lump we called Earth. You change. Everything changes. Life is constantly changing all the time, every moment. Change is part of life, but change is not part of God. Now, it's the final in our series, as Ashley just said, where we're thinking why God is not like you and why that's really good news. We're thinking today about him being immutable. That's the technical term. It is a word we use in everyday life, but God is immutable. He is unchanging over time, and he is unable to be changed. He is unable to be changed. Now, generally, if you're new here today, we work through books of the Bible, but we are seeing what the whole Bible has to say on this topic. We're thinking about this issue, this doctrine. And the main image I want you to latch onto today. If you don't remember anything else, it is a metaphor that Scripture gives us that helps us get understand this aspect that God is unchangeable. And we hear it in 1 Samuel 2, verse 2. It's up on the screen. This is what we hear there. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Psalm 19, verse 14. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. 22 times in the Psalms, God is referred to as our rock, my rock. Why is God described like a rock? Well, what is a rock? Just in case you don't know, here's a picture. It is strong. It doesn't move. It doesn't change. Our God is a rock. He is strong. He is certain. He doesn't change. Some of you will know the story. Jesus tells a parable of two people who built houses, one on the sand, one on the rock. The storm comes. Which is left standing? The house built on the rock. And Jesus says, anyone who builds their life on my teaching is building their life on the rock. Now, Jesus says, his teaching, he himself is a rock. Now, it's just worth just pausing at this moment and saying this. There are older generations in this room who were brought up to understand some things were unchangeable. Truth is unchangeable. Human biology is unchangeable. Life having a purpose is unchangeable. Now, there's other people in this room who are a generation who have grown up being told, no, truth is true if it's true for you. Truth is unchangeable. Human biology, well, depending on how I feel, it can be changed. Or maybe you've been grown up being told, you need to make up your own purpose because you're here by accident because there is no God. Purpose is changeable. And I want to say that is shifting sands. And the Bible says that isn't actually true reality. See, we want something secure. We don't want our lives to be built on something that tomorrow might change because truth is relative. So the Bible says God is a rock. And he is an unchanging rock. And there is truth because he is there. There is a created order made by God for you to flourish. You have been made with purpose to know him and to live for him and to be saved by him and to be on mission with him, whoever you are. I just want to say, maybe you are here today because actually you are thinking about these things and life feels really uncertain and you're trying to find some certainty. You are really welcome. But maybe you've been following Jesus for 7 days. Maybe you've been following Jesus for 70 years. And we need to hear this again and again and again. The Lord is your rock. And I don't know what feels out of control right now, you need to know he doesn't change. That's what we're going to dwell on. We're going to dwell on one aspect of that reality this morning. Remember the imagery of a rock. Here's the big thing we're going to think about. He is unchanging. He is unchangeable, and he is unchanging in who he is. So just turn in your Bible back to Psalm 102. And the words will be on the screen, but I think you'll appreciate having this in front of you. Page 605, so I'm going to keep referring to it, and you'll want to see it. Page 605, Psalm 102, and we'll look at verse 25. Psalm 102, page 605. Let me read verse 25. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth. And the heavens are the work of your hands. Again, we've just reflected on this over the last few weeks. Everything we see, everything we experience, it all comes from him, his creation, his power, his gifting. It's all his doing. Now, when you think about life, what are some of the most permanent things that you think are there? I guess if you think of permanent things in this world, you'll probably think about not just a rock, but a massive rock, a mountain. Here we go. Here is a mountain peak. And as you look at this mountain, okay, from the perspective of this photographer, they are there taking a photograph of this mountain. Now, in that image, there will be a bunch of things that will change. Who knows? Maybe the snow kind of comes and goes. Maybe there'll be trees that come up and die. Who knows? But that person who is there, if you went back 1,000 years and stood in that same space, what would you see? Something almost identical. Imagine in 1,000 years' time, someone stood in that spot. What are you going to see? Almost exactly the same thing. Maybe there's a house that's been built there. The point is, it seems unchangeable to us. It seems absolutely permanent. But have a look at verse 26. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded. He says, those things, that mountain is as permanent as your latest pair of trainers. Now, I've just got to share this brief story because I had a moment last summer where I was doing a wedding here at church. And if you're at coffee time, you've already heard about this. I'm sorry. I was doing a wedding here at church and I put on a pair of chinos and a waistcoat. And because it was around the time where parking was a bit of a headache and getting the kids out of the house, we arrived here about 10 minutes before the wedding. And my middle daughter chased up to me and said, Dad, I've got to tell you something. I was like, okay, just come into my office. And she said, Dad, there's a hole in your trousers. I said, where? She said, just at the back of them, Dad. I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, okay, go and get your mother. And so she went and got my wife, and she came on in, and I turned around, and she said these words, Reese, it's really bad. Now, do you want to see them? I've kept them. Do you want to see them? Okay, here we go. These are the chinos. Right, here we go. And, right, here we go. This is the hole. That's the hole. Right there. Can you see, like, that is quite a big hole. We had 5 minutes to go. There was no chance Grace was going to be able to get home and get us a new pair of trousers to wear. Ashley had a jacket which only really covered a little bit of it. And so I did the wedding like this. I went round and stood, and I went round and stood there. But here's the irony. Here's the ironic thing. That morning, as I was getting dressed, I grabbed the trousers and I thought this, what a brilliant pair of trousers. I've had them for 20 years. And they're a size 28, they still fit me. Brilliant. Brilliant. Now, that mountain that we look at and go, brilliant, always there, permanent. It will wear out and be discarded like those chinos, which I'll keep for the rest of my life and keep using as an illustration. But isn't that mind-blowing? That stuff that we think is so permanent is like your new pair of trainers that gets worn out. Whereas what is God like? Look at verse 26. They will perish, but you remain. They'll wear out like a garment, and but you will change them, and they will be discarded, but you remain the same, and your years never end. Again, it's just repeated throughout Scripture. Malachi 3:6, we had it read, I, the Lord, do not change. Do you realize the living God never changes? It's wonderful. absolutely wonderful. Now look, just three things to think about this reality that we've seen. Firstly, it's unique to him. It's utterly unique to God. He is incommunicable. It's an incommunicable attribute. That's the kind of theological term for it. But it's something that God has that isn't shared with anybody else. Everything else changes apart from him. Secondly, it's an uber attribute. Now, I think in the translation software, this doesn't work so well. I wasn't quite sure whether I actually read this or I've made this up in my head. But in other words, it's an attribute that undergirds all other aspects of who God is. So, you know, we've thought about his power. He's got all power. His power is immutable. It is unchanging. His knowledge is unchanging. His holiness is unchanging. His love is unchanging. He can't become more holy and less steadfast. He is all his attributes to the utmost forever. Andrew Wilson, who's written this brilliant little book with daily reflections called Incomparable, he puts it like this. If God could change, there would be trouble. What if he changed for the worse? He would no longer be perfect. All right, so what if he changed for the better? Then he would not have been perfect in the first place. If God changed in any way, it would leave us with a problem. Now, it's just, again, it's just an outworking of this. But that means that he is unchanging in what he tells us is good. And what is bad, you know, we can so easily say, but that was, you know, when God tells me that thing is wrong, that was 2,000 years ago, and surely stuff has changed since then. No. Because the unchangeable God, who's unchangeably good, has told us something unchangeably good for you. For all time. Now, look, just one brief sidestep. We won't spend long here. If God is unchanging in who he is, and actually he's unchanging in what he says, and what he says is good. In the words of Numbers 23, verse 19, and make a note of this verse, and you can look it up at bedtime. God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. He doesn't change his mind, but what about those few moments in the Old Testament where he does change his mind? I'm just going to do this for 3 minutes. Let me give you one example. The book of Jonah. Jonah and the whale. Jonah and the big fish. Jonah goes to this city of Nineveh, about 120,000 people, with a message from God. And the message from God is this: 40 more days and judgment's going to fall. Basically, this city is going to fall. 40 more days and judgment's going to fall. Now, do you know what happens after 40 days? Judgment does not fall. Why? Now, it's not because God has changed his mind or changed who he is. That message is a message that actually is an invitation to repent, to turn, to change. 40 more days and judgment will fall. Actually, what do the people in Nineveh do? You can read it for yourself tonight before bed. Jonah chapter 3. They turn back to him. They dress in ashcloth and ashes and they repent. This is what has happened. God has not changed. God, in his love, he acts to us in one or two ways. His love means that he is just. Justice is part of his love. Justice means that actually, when he sees the wrong things we do, he is bothered by it and he will hold it to account. He brings justice. That is outworking of his love. And what do the people in that town of Nineveh do? As they turn back to him, he doesn't change, but they've changed. And so actually they experience his love, but in a different way. They don't experience his love in judgment and justice. They experience his love in his mercy. He doesn't change. They change. Come and talk to me more about that at the end if you want to. Point being, the unchanging God is, it's an uber attribute. It undergirds loads of other essential things about God. But just finally, just one other reflection. It is also active. It's active. The theologians call it actus purus, I think it is, or pure act. You know, when you think about God being unchanging, it is wrong to think of that as like him being static. So we think of him like a rock. And what's the thing about a rock? It's static. It's not doing anything. But God, in his unchanging nature, is, it's pure act. There is no potential in him at all. He is all he is to the max. One of my Bible college lecturers, a guy called Mike Ovey, he used to put it like this. He said, imagine an 100-meter sprinter. Now, this is someone who's clearly doing the hurdles, but that's fine, right? Charging out, you know, like veins bursting, going, there's like no potential in them at all. They are going 110%. You can't even do that. In all aspects of who they are, as they are striving. He says, that is what God is like in all aspects of who he is. No unreserved potential. He's not holding anything back. He is all of who he is, thoroughly, fully. So when we think about his love being unchanging, it's not fickle like us. It's not dependent on whether he kind of got out of bed well or it's conflicted because there's all these other things that are kind of affecting him in that moment or it being impure. No, his love is unchangingly active. It is constantly reaching towards others. It is straining, not in a way that makes him sweat, but with no potential left. And you need to know, if you're trusting in Jesus this morning, you are loved by the living God, not in a static, lifeless way, but in a way that is pure and timeless and energetically and infinitely so. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. He is unchangeable. God is never becoming. He is always being. And three big implications for us of that. Firstly, just as we think about ourselves, we need to make God our one unchanging reality. Change is part of life, but change is not part of God. But I wonder how much of your life you spend just trying to make stuff unchangeable and permanent. You know, I want to go back to that holiday destination that I was there as a child, and I don't want anything to have changed because I want to feel like I felt then. I want it to be unchangeable. Or maybe there's a relationship or a friendship, and you just want that to be the one place of safety, and so it cannot change at all. And I wonder right now, you know, if you were to finish the sentence, I couldn't cope in life if it was not for... You know, what would come out of your mouth? What would come out of your heart? You know, that friend, that parent, my job, the cat, the chocolate, the holiday, the spouse. You know, maybe life feels all at sea because there's something in that area that has fundamentally changed and you can't get it back to what you want it to be and it makes you feel utterly lost. Now, by nature, all of us do that. We all do that. We look to created things and sometimes God nudges us to say those things are good. They're not bad things. They're not wicked things. They're often good things. They're a gift, but that is not meant to be your rock. You really need me. I'm the one who doesn't change. Now look, I just, again, want to be clear. Mourning is not sinful. It's not wrong to mourn stuff that we have lost. It's part of the way that we have been made. But even in our mourning, we need to know He is our rock. You know, maybe a prayer this week could be for you. It could be something like this. Before bed, Lord, I love this thing. I love this thing. And I'm finding it so hard. It is changing, or maybe it is irrevocably changed. And sorry if I've made this good thing and put it in your place. Help me to find hope and peace in you, the unchangingly good God. Maybe that's a prayer you need to pray each day this week. Second big thing, don't kid yourselves that you're not changeable. You're not changeable. I don't know if you're a bit like me, but do you sometimes make excuses that I cannot actually change? We often, sinful habits, we can make excuses for them and say, well, that's just me. That's just the way I am. And you just have to live with it because that's just, it's so hard baked into me. And we need to hear, God can't change, but we really can. We can change. You are by nature changeable. And in the hands of the living God, with the help of His Holy Spirit and the clarity of His word and the love of other believers, you can change. And so maybe you might need to stop giving yourself a free pass. Have you ever found yourself doing this? Oh, I'm tired, and therefore, I'm going to do this. Oh, you have been mean to me, and so that is why I'm going to react really sinfully back. Oh, I'm doing so well in these other areas of my life. They're so on top of it, but this one, no, I'm just going to let that. That's fine. That gives me the right to do all this. I've been living for so long now, it's just impossible to change. Oh, if I'd had different upbringing and different role models, I'm just doing what they did. And so you repeat these things and you give yourself a free pass and you keep acting in a way you know it's wrong. And I wonder, like, is there something in your life right now that the Lord is putting His finger on, you know, the grumpiness. Oh, yeah. Rather than the joy. The cynicalness. Rather than the generosity of spirit that gives again. The selfishness. I just really ultimately care about me and my comfort. So stop faffing me with that. God is unchangeable. Doesn't need to change. But you do. And He loves you too much to leave you in your sin and the mess of it. You are changeable. Final thing, third thing. The unchangeable God became changeable so you might become unchangeable. Right, this is a tongue twister. Let me say it again. This is real hope. The unchangeable God became changeable so that you might become unchangeable. Right, just turn to page 1201. It's Hebrews chapter 1. And in fact, actually, the page numbers by this point, they've gone. So, Hebrews chapter 1, page 1201. Hebrews chapter 1, page 1201. And you might need your varifocals or your bifocals on at this point. Hebrews chapter 1. And have a look at verses 10 to 12. Have a look at the end of verse 12. And look at the little F. See the little F at the end of verse 12? And if you have a look at the bottom of the page, where is that quote from? Can you see it if you're on page 1201? Hebrews 1, verse 12, the little F. Have a look at the bottom of the page. Where is the quote from? Thank you very much, Alex. Psalm 102. And who is the writer saying this is about? Just have a look at verse 8. Okay. About the Son, he says. This is about Jesus. Your throne endures forever, O God. Have a look at verse 10. But also he says, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the work of your hands. You are the same. You will never end. It's saying that psalm, which is true of God, is true of the eternal Son, Jesus. He is the maker. He is the one who endures forever. And so the Jesus we meet, the Jesus with human flesh incarnate we meet, is both 100% God and 100% man. The 100% God, he is unchangeable. In his godness, he cannot die. But the 100% eternal God took on human flesh that is changeable. Why? So that he could die. So that he could die for our sins. So we could be forgiven all our wrong and wickedness. The unchangeable God took on changeable flesh. And what is part of the goal of that? To make you unchangeable. See, this is the Christian hope. Revelation 21, it's going to be up on the screen. Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. Let me read it to you. This is the Christian hope of eternity. New heavens and new earth. And look what it says. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, God with his people, and they will be his people, and God himself will be their God, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. It's a beautiful picture, but why will there be no more mess? Because there'll be no more sin. Sin is the stuff that destroys our life and destroys our relationships. And one of the reasons heaven will be so glorious is because we'll no longer be able to sin. Because we'll no longer want to sin. We'll be holy and blessed and genuinely good. Now look, we will be changeable in some things. We will change in our knowledge and understanding of God. We will grow in that. We will change in our wonder and glory. We'll still be ourselves as unique individuals. But the big change will be that we'll always want to do the right thing. And we'll be unchangeable in that. I don't know about you, but I just long, you know, no more struggles with addictions. No more struggles with laziness. No more struggles with failing and letting other people down. No more struggles with words that come out of the mouth before you think of it and then they're gone and you're like, I wish I could take that back. The unchangeable God took on changeable flesh so that one day you can have the hope of being unchangeable. Change is part of life. It's not part of God. And so what do we need to do right now? We need to express our trust in the unchangeable Savior, the rock of our salvation, the one in Hebrews is Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. And so in the quietness, we'll just give you a few moments to reflect and say thank you. And then we're going to express our trust in our unchanging Savior Jesus through taking the Lord's Supper together. So if you're someone who is trusting in Jesus and in good fellowship with other believers, you are welcome to take this meal with us. And so in the quietness, if you do not have bread and juice, you're really welcome to go and take it from the back, and then we'll take this meal together. So a few moments of quiet to reflect and go and get some juice and some bread. Father, as we look out at this world, the heavens are the work of your hands, but they will perish. And you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like clothing that you will change them. They will be discarded, but you remain the same, and your years will never end. And Father, we praise you for this promise that the children of your servants will live in your presence forever. How we long for us to be transformed from our sinful, broken bodies to be unchangeably like you in character and to be with you for all eternity. And so we pray this week that you might be the rock of our salvation, the rock of our lives, and that as we trust you, that we might speak for you into a world that is confused and lost and built on changing sands. May we live out the hope that we know in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.